Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome this night on Good Friday as we contemplate the death and crucifixion of our Lord. If you brought an offering tonight, we will have a basket in the back. If you wish to put it back there, we won't take an offering in the service proper. In the Prado Museum in Madrid, Spain, you'll find this stunning masterpiece. It was painted in the 17th century by Spanish artist Francisco de Zubarán between 1635 and 1640. And he named it the Agnus Dei, which is Latin for Lamb of God. It's actually a pretty simple painting, a woolly merino lamb lying on its side on a gray slab. The lamb is facing to the left. He has elegantly curved horns. All four of his feet are bound together above the fetlock with two strands of cord. And with his feet tied together, the lamb's back is elevated as he lies on that slab. His left eye, the only one we can see, is rather detailed. It's open. It's got pale lashes that delicately line his eye. And we can see that the lamb is actually looking down at the slab. And there's no blood in the painting. So the lamb is obviously alive, though he won't be for long. He's clearly there for a singular purpose. Still life paintings of the 17th century rarely displayed emotion. And this is, I think, one of those rather rare exceptions. In the Agnus Dei, the lamb shows emotion. It's an emotion of resignation. He isn't struggling to free himself. His mouth is closed and relaxed. This lamb is ready to die. And light shines down on the lamb from the upper left at a high angle so that very little shadow is cast. But beyond the pool of light, everything else behind the lamb is dark, very dark. On this Good Friday, we're still following our series in the book of Exodus, and today we're in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12 is about the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. We read there, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you choose must be year-old males, without defect." The lamb in Exodus 12, as you're aware, is the lamb of the Passover. He must be a male, he must be perfect. No crippled, lame, spotted, or off-colored lambs are acceptable. We're told then in that chapter that after choosing the lamb, the people were to guard and watch it for 3 days. And on the 14th day of the month, each household of Israel was to gather at twilight and kill that lamb. And then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of their houses. The blood of that lamb would set God's people free. Free from the slavery of evil Pharaoh, free from the darkness and death of Egypt. So we look again at the Agnus Dei. That black background actually serves to highlight the lamb's white wool. Here's a perfect lamb, an acceptable lamb, without defect. But that darkness does something else as well. It highlights the reason that this lamb was slaughtered. You see, sin is dark. Dark indeed. Luther was an Augustinian monk. That means that he was a monk associated with the order that followed the teachings of Augustine of Hippo, who died in the early 400s AD. Augustine coined the phrase, incurvatus in se. That's a Latin phrase that means turned in on oneself. But Luther developed the theology of that phrase. See, as sinful people, we're turned in on ourselves, turned toward our own self-interests, our own desires, our own needs, our own agendas. And you can call it individualism or narcissism or selfishness, but no matter what you call it, it's sin. And that sin says to turn outwards toward God and other people is just too risky. I might get hurt or disappointed or frustrated. I might look weak. I might lose something or be forced to give something up. So instead, we turn inward. It's better, it's much safer to turn toward self. But the more we focus on ourselves, the more curved in we become until we live life in a tight fetal position, shut off from the world, shut off from those around us. Living like that leads to isolation, disconnectedness, and despair. Sin, incurvatus in se, seduces us, and then it traps us, and then it kills us. Have you ever looked at a painting and thought, it'd be nice to enter into that scene? Maybe take a walk with Vincent van Gogh and the Starry Night, or listen to the conversation that Da Vinci had with the Mona Lisa. What would we do if we were to enter Zurbarán's masterpiece, Agnus Dei? I think that our impulse would be to untie the lamb, to let him loose, to set him free. It all seems so cruel, but we can't. We can't get to the knot. I mentioned earlier that the artist painted the cords that bound the feet. You know, artists, really good artists, don't do anything without a reason. You see, the knot can't be seen, can't be reached, because the lamb must not be freed. There's nothing we can do for the lamb. This lamb will be slaughtered because his blood alone will set the Israelites free. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. On that good First Friday, first Good Friday, the true lamb, the one whom that Passover lamb was pointing to, was revealed. That night, almost 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, prayed in a garden until his agony caused him to sweat great drops of blood. And when the Roman soldiers blindfolded Jesus and began punching him in the face, there was more blood. And there was more blood when they pressed that crown of thorns upon his head. But the real bloodbath took place when Pontius Pilate ordered him to be flogged. He was stripped, naked, and whipped without mercy. And his blood continued to flow as he carried his cross on the Via Dolorosa, more Latin, the way of sorrow, until three nails drew yet more blood. And even after his death, his blood flowed as that Roman spear was thrust into his side to make it clear that he was truly dead. This painting, the Agnus Dei, inspired another masterpiece. It's a marble sculpture created by Stefano Maderno, also a 17th century artist. And it's called The Martyrdom of Saint Cecilia. Maderno draws on Zurbarán's ability to reproduce textures. And it's intentionally illuminated by a directed light which creates broad areas of shadow. And that helps us concentrate our attention on Saint Cecilia. Like the lamb, she's lying down. And like the lamb, her arms are bound. And like the lamb, she's resigned to God's will in her life. But there's one more connection between the Agnus Dei and Saint Cecilia, and I think it's the most important connection of all. You see, the woman is white. All white. Saint Cecilia is all white, just like that lamb, because she has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's what enables her to be confident, even in the face of death. And so are we. Jesus shed his blood for you and for me too. By faith, we're washed clean in that blood of Jesus. Thankfully so, because it's the only way to free us from an eternity of incurvatus in se, of being turned in on self. You know, in the end, at the very end, all Jesus had was his blood. His disciples had deserted him. His garments had been gambled away. Even his father had turned his back on him. Blood was all Jesus had. But it was enough. It was more than enough. It was why he came. Why he was there. And why we are here. Because the blood of Jesus is all we need. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus is all we need. Isaac Watts, a hymn writer, who also lived, guessed when, 17th century, brings our two 17th century masterpieces together when he writes this. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. See, this is truly a lamb that we can love, a savior we can trust, and a Lord we can serve. Amen.